You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open. Touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle. And there he goes. Crowder. It's a foot race. And Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know who that's. The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to answer some mailbag questions here on this bye week with the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Next question comes in from Peter J. Dillard. He says, gentlemen, I was hoping you could explain why the general manager invested money in two free agent wide receivers, a second round pick 2 years in a row at wide receiver, then traded the starting tight end only to run an offense featuring two tight ends. I'm confused. I don't understand what they're doing. I thank you in advance for clarifying. I love Peter so much. Peter, you are the absolute best, and not just because you came up with Usurper. Yeah, I wish I had a good answer for you. I really don't understand it myself. I'm fine with trading Herndon because, let's be honest, he's not any good, and clearly you see what's going on in Minnesota. The Jets basically stole from the Vikings getting a fourth-round pick for him. But, yeah, I don't understand running an offense with two tight ends when they've got the tight ends that they've got and they've got wide receivers that the Jets invested heavily in, both with draft picks and money. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, the Herndon thing, I'm right there with you. And, yeah, Joe Douglas, this is one of these things, that, like you said, I wish I had an answer for you, but I think we don't have the complete picture yet, or at least with Denzel Mims. It's just so confusing, and we can't understand what's going wrong. Is this just LaFleur and Saleh? Is Joe Douglas involved? I don't know. Because it could have been possible that they came in here and they were just like, hey, yep, Mims doesn't really fit what we want to try to do. So that's why they went out and they were good with signing Corey Davis, Keelan Cole, and then drafting Elijah Moore. They could have gone into all that thinking like, all right, well, then just Denzel Mims is an extra here. But I don't know that for a fact. It could also just be, Corey Davis made all the sense in the world, even if you're rolling with Denzel Mims thinking that he was what he was after he drafted him. Keelan Cole at that point still makes sense because a guy talked about at the time, he's an awesome number four or five receiver to have. And then it could just be like they're sitting there on the board and Elijah Moore's still there. And they're like, nah, this kid's too good to pass up. So there's a lot of different ways this could go. And I'm never going to argue against bringing in more talent to a position. But yeah, we just need to figure out really what's going on here. Again, the lack of talent and what they have at tight end is alarming, but trading away Herndon, it does nothing about that to me. That doesn't bother me. They need to figure out something. We keep coming back to this and I keep repeating it, but play him or trade him. That's it. Play him or trade him.
Next question comes in from Michael Pallas. He says, two things. First, should the Jets run more 10 personnel? Yeah, absolutely. Fine with me. They don't need to have tight ends in all the time. Extra receivers, especially with the way this team is built, would probably be a good idea, at least from time to time. And should the Jets use more the same way the Falcons use Patterson? I don't know if I'd use them exactly the same way, but there's no reason they can't sprinkle in some of those types of plays.
Yeah, I'm not worried about how they're using Moore. Again, against Atlanta, limited because of the concussion and the travel. But Moore's getting open. We've talked about this. He's getting open, so they need to get the quarterback to find him more. And you can use him manufacturing stuff to get him touches, but I'm not really worried about that. That's going to come. I'm not trying to force anything there. Let that be. My immediate reaction to, more 10 personnel is thinking like they're not going to do that because that's not the system and you're not running outside zone without those tight ends. But they're not having enough success running the ball for me to dismiss anything along those sorts.
Plus, so, he did say, should they do it? He didn't say, will they do it?
Okay, that's fair enough. But they need to be trying a lot more stuff, a lot more things in general. And especially when you know, it's one thing if, it's just like a first or second down, a regular first or second down, and you want to still have the illusion that you might run the ball. But when it's an obvious passing situation, these tight ends aren't helping. They're not doing anything. They're just taking up space out there. When it's an obvious passing situation, yes, bring more receivers on, including Denzel Mims on there. Bring them on and use them because these receivers aren't helping in those situations. These tight ends aren't helping in those situations. It's just a waste of everybody's time and space.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from New York State of Mind. He says, what is the trajectory of the defense over the rest of the season? Will they continue to be inconsistent? Also, what will the offense look like in December? Will they still be making these head-scratching mistakes, or will they get the basic stuff figured out by then? First part of this, I don't think the defense has been inconsistent. I think they've mostly been pretty good. It was just this past week against the Falcons that they've been bad. So I don't know that I agree with your assessment there. I think they've overachieved for the most part for the first part of the season. As far as the offense, I sure hope they're going to figure out the basic stuff by the time December comes around, because if they don't, going back to a question we answered earlier, I think that would lead to Mike LaFleur's dismissal. And it would also scare the daylights out of a lot of Jets fans, because it would mean that everything that they were hoping for this season, a watchable offense, young players starting to come into their own, a quarterback who looks like the answer, would not have materialized. And I'm not so sure that the hearts of Jets fans can handle that at this point.
I'll say this. I agree with your point about the defense, that, you know, it was just the Atlanta game where that's makes it a little inconsistent. But I will say this, how the offense comes along will play a big part in this as well. Because if the offense continues to struggle like this, then I think you can see some inconsistency pop up from the defense. Just when you're constantly asked to be on the field as much as they have, you're going to break. And, you know, normally you end up wearing down over course of a game in the break. That's how we're used to seeing it happen with the Jets. But if it's week in, week out, sometimes they're going to end up breaking in the first quarter. So the offense is going to have to improve and get better for the defense to be able to not suffer from some of this. But I'm not worried about the defense at all. They're not going to be the best defense in the league. They're not going to be like, you know, riding to the playoffs on the strength of defense. But they're going to be plenty good enough this year. And they're so young that I think that they're going to be fine going forward. You'll be happy with what you've seen from the defense. The offense has a lot more work to do to iron things out, to be more consistent. I don't know that they're going to get to the level that you want them to be this year, but I am very confident that they're going to get this figured out and ironed out. You know, within a couple of weeks after the bye, they got Bengals and Patriots coming up. You know, I think it should be ironed out at least a little bit. And by the end of the season, I think they'll be smooth and competent enough that fans can have some type of hope and excitement going forward, even if it's not quite as much as you would have hoped for. But yeah, I do think that they're going to get this figured out and write it enough. Now, the one concern, the thing that could throw the wrench in there, is if they can't figure out this yip situation with Zach Wilson. If he still can't complete these little 3 feet passes, then, I mean, there's just nothing you can really do when your quarterback can't complete that. So that has to be the first thing that they figure out. And if they do that, I think they'll go a long way.
Next question comes in from JP Waxer. He says, is there any depth on the offensive line?
No.
No, but also yes in a weird way, because Mekhi Becton, who is the most important piece on the O-line, went down, and the Jets were able to find a way to keep it respectable at tackle. So they do have a little bit of tackle depth there with a pretty solid swing tackle. Beyond that, though, no, they've got nothing. Although I do like Drew Samia, who they just signed to the practice squad from the Vikings, was a 4th-round pick a couple of years ago. I see some potential in him, not necessarily for this year, but for down the line. Other than that, though, there's just not really much here. But I do like the fact that they had Fant to step in when Becton got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, they had depth at tackle, and now they don't anymore because Becton's hurt. When he comes back, they will. But talked about before, fractured kneecap. I'll wait until I see that him actually come back on the field this year before I necessarily believe that.
Chris, no spoilers for the movie, but do you think it's possible that Dickie Moltisanti ordered the broken kneecaps for Mekhi Becton?
It might be possible. It would explain some things. But yeah, it's right now, they're, you know, the next game they have, they do not have depth. I mean, they don't even have a starting right guard. So they definitely don't have depth. That's going to have to be addressed in the offseason and going forward.
By the way, that was a reference to the many Saints of Newark that I just made with the kneecap in question. Next question comes in from Nicholas Joseph. He says, we heard how special Moore was in practice this offseason. Why is he not being utilized correctly? Or was he just completely overhyped? Will Joe Douglas make the same mistake twice and make Mims the next Robbie Anderson, devalue him, then let him go and watch him become a really good contributor somewhere else? So let's start with the Elijah Moore thing. He was overhyped in a sense. He did great at training camp, but there's always a danger in getting too pumped up about what somebody does in the preseason or in training camp. And I think that's part of what's going on here. Moore's getting open quite a bit, but I think everybody anointed him as the next Jerry Rice before he actually got on the field and was really making plays in games. I think that he's going to have to be used in a better way, in the sense that right now, Wilson's clearly not seeing him. They're absolutely going to have to try and fix that and find ways to get more into situations where he gets more in sync with Wilson. But also, I do think that they should use him in some ways that are similar to Cordarrelle Patterson, which Michael Pallas mentioned before. What I mean by that is there's nothing wrong with giving him the occasional jet sweep and things like that. Just anything to get the ball in his hands. And as far as Denzel Mims and Joe Douglas making the same mistake as he did with Robbie Anderson, I don't know that this is necessarily a Joe Douglas thing. It feels more like it's a coaching staff thing. So if Mims is gone, I think it's probably going to be their fault. And if he steps up and becomes a really good contributor elsewhere, I'd probably pin the blame on Salah and LaFleur before I would pin it on Joe Douglas, just because Joe Douglas is the one that drafted him. But if Salah and LaFleur aren't going to play him, what do you want Joe Douglas to do short of overruling them, which is probably not going to work out?
Yeah, this is definitely not a Joe Douglas thing. If it was just up to him, he would have been playing his second round draft pick from just last year. He'd be giving him those reps. So, you know, this could just be a different word choice. But I don't think Joe Douglas did anything to devalue Robbie Anderson. He just didn't. You know, he didn't see the value. He should have paid him.
Well, I think that's really what he meant. Okay, I guess that's really what he was alluding to, that he didn't see the value in Anderson, sort of lowballed him, didn't seem interested really in having him back. And then he went and signed a pretty inexpensive contract with the Panthers, did really well in his first season there, and then got a bigger deal in the offseason and extension. So I think that's what he was alluding to, and I think we can all agree that that was absolutely the case. Douglas himself has admitted he made a mistake and absolutely undervalued Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, all right. So that makes sense. But with the Mims thing, I don't think that's what's happening here. This is a coaching staff thing. Joe Douglas is just kind of seeding it to him. Okay, this, you guys are in control of this. With the Elijah Moore thing, again, he's getting open. Zach Wilson needs to find him. I'm not concerned. I absolutely do not think he was overhyped at all. He was playing that great in training camp, and I don't know what else we're supposed to do but tell you that he's playing that great. Now, does that mean that some people took it too far by saying, like, oh, he's going to be rookie of the year, or rookie of the month, the first month of the season, that type of stuff? Like, you know, Justin Jefferson comparisons are talking about that right away. Yeah, that was too far.
What happened here is that people just read too much into him doing so well at training camp is really what he means by overhyped. Okay. And I do think that there are some beat reporters that maybe didn't do enough to put in perspective that it was just training camp. I know you certainly did. You would say over and over again, I know it's just training camp, so take that for what it's worth, but this kid is absolutely dynamic. So you were very clear about that, but there were some others that maybe weren't quite as clear. So I think that's where this comes in. A lot of people were expecting him to be this amazing player right off the bat, and ultimately, look, he's still a rookie with a rookie quarterback.
All right, fair enough, but also at a certain point, that's on the fans too.
Sure, and I think that's part of it too, Chris. The people that overhyped him is the fans as well.
Right, but again, that's going to happen with anything. Like, sure. No, especially a Jets player and a Jets receiver, nobody can come in and be even, like, decent without somebody going and running way too far in one direction. And just, like, nobody can come in and be, like, kind of bad without Jets fans taking him and saying that it's the worst person to ever step on a football field. I don't think it was overhyped too much. It was just, he looked great, and there was rookies, and it's a slow start, but it's also not, it's really hard for a wide receiver to look great when the rest of the offense around him looks bad. Like, there's only so much he can do. He's reliant on the offensive line to protect Zach Wilson long enough. He's reliant on Zach Wilson finding him and making the throw on time. And then also, you know, he's only played, he missed a game already. There's only a couple games. But patience, patience, patience. Elijah Moore, I have no worries about. The only thing right now I'll say is Zach Wilson needs to start looking his way more.
The owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, thank you so much for coming on, as always. Really appreciate it. Check out everything Chris is doing at JetsInsider.com. And follow him on Twitter at CNimbley and at Jets Insider. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Luke Grant's got some great breakdowns of all 22 footage involving the Jets defensive line, Zach Wilson, and a whole lot more. So check out our videos and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, check out our store at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the Zach Says Go Long shirt with him pointing downfield like he did with Corey Davis in the Tennessee Titans game. We've also got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt. It's all available right now at the Play Like a Jet store over at teepublic.com. Just search for Play Like a Jet and give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.